My name is Mary and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 29th of July 2003. My home group is the Tap Group. Woo! It's a relatively new group. You meet on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, 2330 Germantown, South Germantown Road. And we're a literature study. We study conference-approved literature that includes our history and all three of our legacies. So if you're interested or just want to come visit, we'd really be glad to have you. I want to thank the committee for asking me to be here. It's really good to be anywhere these days. And I want to thank the committee for all the hard work that they've done to put this thing on. It's amazing. And I don't know where Justin is, but I want to thank him. I'm sure he could get an Eskimo to buy an iceberg. And then feel grateful he paid $2,000 for it. Has everybody had your sugar rush? Maybe I should go face paint. I find it kind of funny that our cakes are named or have names. That one back there was what, better than sex? I checked, it didn't come with a memory chip. So I didn't have any. And I just want to say that this is on the flyer as a history talk. It might give you the illusion that I'm an expert on history, and I'm not. I'm not an archivist. I'm simply a member of Alcoholics Anonymous who dearly, dearly loves our history. And it has added, as I've studied, it has added depth to my sobriety and a great appreciation for all those that came before us. And the very fact that we have a fellowship today. Before we start, if you could help me, I'm really in need of a moment of silence. And if you would, during this moment, just ask the God of your understanding to be with us over the next few minutes. I really need your help to begin with, and I want you, if you would, and let us all together. I'm just going to be the storyteller. This is our story. This is the story of Alcoholics Anonymous, therefore it's my story. And like our personal stories, there is a what we were like, what happened, and what we're like today. And along with the telling of that story, and that's going to be my job today, is to try to, in our own language, describe how we've established our relationship with God. And I think that's kind of backwards because in my personal case, I think that God really established a relationship with me. And I was the happy recipient of that. So I'd like us to think about those days leading up to our sobriety. Whether you've got single or double digits, years, months, days, or if you're still struggling to get your feet on the path, I want you to recall that struggle that you had, maybe the many ways that you tried to stop drinking or control your drinking. And as things progressed and the darkness grew, can you remember that, as Bill says, that chilling vapor of loneliness that settled in? And all that despair and heartache and the loss of everything precious in our lives. And we get to that place where we can't imagine life with alcohol or without. And we're at that jumping off place. Do you remember? You might even be wishing for the end. Now I want you to imagine that picture, hold that picture in your mind, and then think there's nowhere to go. There's no inner group to call. There's no group to go to. There are no steps to take to treat our alcoholism. In fact, there is not one single soul, as an example, sober before you. Pretty disheartening, you know?
Yeah.
Whew. And this was what was facing a guy by the name of Roland in 1931. He was well-educated, came from a really good family in Rhode Island. He was a businessman. He was an alcoholic, and his life was coming apart. And in that, he had gone to several various psychiatrists in America. He'd been in and out of sanitariums. by today's vernacular, that's treatment centers. And he had various treatments for his alcoholism, and nothing was working. So he decided that even he had some money, so he was off to Switzerland to see a guy by the name of Dr. Carl Jung. That was the first time Providence smiled on us. He didn't go to see Dr. Freud. Freud's theory of alcoholism was actually that it was an oral fixation covering up all these deep neuroses, and it was probably an indication of latent homosexuality. Saw some people kind of sit up a little straighter on that one. But he went to see Jung, and he completed his treatment from this great psychiatrist, and after some time, he left. And it wasn't him, he felt sure. He was confident this time his alcohol problem was behind him. It wasn't too long, he was drunk again. And so he ran back to the doctor and said, something strange for us, maybe a degree of desperation. He begged the doctor to tell him the truth. Why couldn't he recover? I don't know about you, but I never asked any doctor about the truth. I really didn't. And the doctor gave it to him, and it came hard. And he said, Roland, you've got the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I've never seen one case like yours recover. Roland felt like he was looking into the pit of hell, wouldn't you be? That's how I would have felt. And then he said, but doctor, are there no exceptions? Dr. Jung kind of hesitated. He wasn't sure if he should tell him what he was thinking. And he said, finally said, yeah, Roland, there are exceptions. It's real rare. Every now and again, here and there, somebody like you has had what they call a vital spiritual experience. That word vital, for those that I'm a word freak, means necessary for life. And these people have had these experiences, and they have recovered from the disease of alcoholism. Roland felt a little bit relieved. He said, well, Doc, I believe in God. I'm a faithful member of my church. And the doctor said, well, those are good things. They're really good. But it's not sufficient to bring around this change that you need. This change that you need is a huge change, and it involves an entire psyche change. Change your personality. And what you're doing, that's not going to be sufficient. So Roland left. But what the doctor did say when he left, he said, I would suggest that you try to align yourself with some kind of religious movement or whatever. Try to get yourself in a position where you might be able to receive such a gift. But don't hold out too much hope. It's real rare. So Roland left, and sometime later, I don't know how long, he came across what was then called the Oxford Groups.